Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents His Christmas Wish by Melissa McClone. Narrated by Angie Hickman.
Prologue.
Jake Porter double-checked the gear in his pack, his motions driven by habit and a sharp sense of purpose. Bivisack. Avalanche transceiver. Probe. Shovel. His friends were somewhere up on Mount Hood in the middle of one of the worst weather systems to hit the Cascades. And Jake was going after them. Carabiners rattled as he closed the pack. Now came the hard part. Waiting. The other members of the all-volunteer mountain rescue unit sat at cafeteria tables inside the Y East Day Lodge, their faces tight and their voices low as they checked their own gear. Yawning reporters grabbed quick interviews between sips of coffee. Eager photographers snapped pictures of the early morning mission preparations. The overhead lights made everything appear pale, stark, and ominous, matching Jake's mood. The weather, too. Outside, visibility sucked. The wind howled at 40 miles per hour. The morning temperature hovered around 13 degrees. The threat of frostbite and the very real avalanche danger made going to a higher elevation a fool's errand. But in his 5 years as a member of Oregon Mountain Search and Rescue, Jake had never been more eager to confront the elements for a mission. He wasn't the only one. The unit may have been composed of volunteers, but every single OMSAR member had responded to the alert. More than a few had heard the news and been waiting for the call-out. Others hadn't waited and had come on their own. All they needed was the go-ahead to move out. Up. Radios crackled as someone asked for additional gear from the rescue cache. Jake tightened the strap around his shovel, ignoring the knot of concern in his stomach. The whiz of the rough nylon brushing through the buckle intensified his unease. His friends should have made it off the hill with no problem. Where were they? Ian Garfield, originally from the Seattle area, was one of the most talented climbers in the Pacific Northwest. Only 23, he'd made a name for himself, gaining sponsors and gracing climbing magazine covers with his numerous first ascents of peaks around the world. He could climb the Reed Headwall solo, backward, with his eyes closed. Nick Bishop knew the mountain better than almost anyone in the unit. When they were high school students together, Nick had once climbed the route overnight and made it to class the next morning for a midterm. After getting married and becoming a dad, he wasn't such a daredevil now. Nick knew challenging the mountain was a stupid idea. The mountain never lost. That was why, after seeing a nasty weather system moving in, he and Ian had changed their plans from a more challenging route to an easier climb. Radio sprang to life once again as someone asked for the ETA on a snowcat. About time. Except what Jake really wanted was to see his two friends walk through the doors with an epic tale to tell. He stared at the door. No sign of Nick or Ian. Only two rescue leaders talking in hushed tones. A heavy weight pressed against Jake. Nick had been his best friend since kindergarten. They'd grown up together, learned to climb together, joined OMSAR together, done everything together. Well, almost everything. Jake swallowed around the lump of guilt in his throat. He should have been on the climb with them. A climb to celebrate Ian's upcoming marriage to Nick's younger sister, Carly. But Jake had said no. Attending the wedding was enough for him. A climb would have been salt in the wound. Okay, his heart. He thought he'd been following his gut. But maybe the decision not to climb had been selfish. If he'd said yes... Sean Hughes, one of the rescue leaders who'd been talking by the door, motioned for Jake and two other experienced members Bill Paulson and Tim Marino to come over. Here's the plan. Avalanche hazard is high, and the weather isn't the greatest. A snow cab will take us to the top of Palmer. When we get there, SAR base is expecting us to call in a condition report to decide if we're staying put or if a search is even possible. Every one of Jake's muscles tensed. At the top of the Palmer ski lift was a building where they could warm up, regroup, and wait for the conditions to improve. Sitting around wasn't going to get the job done. They needed to head out into the field. He zipped his parka. Nick wouldn't hang around and wait if one of us was up there. We're not waiting either. Sean lowered his voice, pitching it so no one could hear him. We'll call in a report, head up, and bring them home. Jake picked up his pack and then swung it onto his shoulders. Yes, we will. The two others grunted their agreement, even though rescuer safety came first in any mission. But when one of their own went missing, risk level changed. Let's hit it. Sean flipped on his headlamp. Jake followed him out of the lodge and into the frigid air. Tim and Bill brought up the rear. The media followed, taking pictures of them, the flashes like lightning, as they trudged their way through the heavy wind to the snowcat. Freezing mist created a haze on Jake's goggles. Each breath stung. It had to be a nightmare at the summit. What could have happened up there? Maybe Nick or Ian had gotten injured. Hurt. Maybe they couldn't get cell coverage. Or their phone batteries had died. Maybe they were waiting out the weather in a snow cave. Maybe. Jacob. The familiar feminine voice wrapped around him like an electric blanket set on high. Soft. Warm. Perfect. He reminded himself that Carly Bishop's heart belonged to Ian. But that didn't mean Jake couldn't look and appreciate. Even with her blonde hair tucked inside a green ski cap, her cheeks flushed from the freezing temperatures, and her eyes red and swollen from crying, she was the best thing he'd seen this morning. Carly. He noticed a photographer watching them. The press would sell their firstborn to get an exclusive interview with the fiancé and sister of the missing climbers. Get inside, it's too cold out here. She shoved her gloved hands into the pockets of her orange down jacket, which was one of Ian's. Her breath hung on the air. Colder up on the mountain. Where Ian and Nick were. His gaze met hers in unspoken understanding. Jake blinked against the biting mist. We're heading up to find them. She inhaled sharply. They said the search was on hold until conditions improved. The conditions are good enough for us.
Thank you so much, she blinked. You have no idea what this means to our family and me.
Jake knew. He was closer to the Bishops than his own parents. That was one reason he'd never treated Carly as anything other than his best friend's kid sister. Well, that and the age difference. She was 22, 4 years younger than him. Their ages meant nothing now, but the gap had been huge when they were teenagers. Though right now she seemed more like a kid than ever. Young and vulnerable. Jake wanted to say something to comfort her, but he hadn't a clue where to start.
I know it's rough up there, and I know what you're up against. But please, Jacob, do whatever, everything you can.
Carly's voice cracked.
Tomorrow is...
December 24th. Christmas Eve. Her and Ian's wedding day. Jake had the invitation on his fridge and their gift under his Christmas tree. Tears streamed unchecked down her face. His already aching heart constricted. I promise you, Carly.
He wiped the tears from her cheeks with his gloved hand. He didn't dare allow himself to do more, and his caution had nothing to do with the photographer watching them. I'll find Nick and Ian. Today. Or Jake wasn't coming down. Chapter 1. As snow flurries fell from the gray sky, Carly Bishop stared at the charming log house surrounded by towering fir trees and decorated with strands of white icicle lights. A lopsided, 4-foot-tall snowman, complete with carrot nose, stood in the front yard. A single electric candle shone through a wood-paned window, the flickering flame-shaped bulb a welcoming light. Carly walked along the snow-dusted path, dragging her wheeled suitcase behind her. A green wreath tied with a red velvet bow hung from a brass holder on the front door. The scent of pine was sharp in the air. The same way it had been. Her breath caught in her throat. The house, the wreath, the candle, the snowman. It was as if time had stopped. As if the past 6 years had simply been a bad dream. Any second, Carly expected Nick to fling open the door wearing a Santa hat and greet her with a jolly ho-ho-ho. And Ian. Ian. She closed her eyes, fighting an onslaught of unwelcome memories. I can't believe you're going climbing 2 days before our wedding. Why don't you just admit it, Ian? You love climbing more than you love me. She'd wanted to forget. The argument and tears before and as he'd left to climb. The thoughts about his selfish behavior while he'd been climbing and dying. The grief and guilt after his body and Nick's had been found. Carly thought she'd forgotten. Put the past behind her. Moved on. She forced herself to breathe. Returning to Hood Hamlet had been a mistake. She should have stayed in Philadelphia, where she'd made a new life for herself, far away from the shadow of Mount Hood and all the mountain had stolen from her. If only staying away had been an option. But her brother's widow, Hannah, was expecting a new baby and needed help with her 2 children. So here Carly was, ready to be an aunt extraordinaire for her niece and nephew. For better or, most likely, worse. All she had to do was survive her time here, including December 24th, the 25th, and New Year's Eve. How difficult could that be? Given she hadn't celebrated the holidays in 5 years, she didn't want to know the answer. Carly tightened her grip on the suitcase handle before climbing the steps to the front porch. With a tentative hand, she reached for the doorknob before remembering this was no longer her brother's house. She pressed the doorbell and waited. The doorknob jiggled. Straightening, Carly forced a smile. Years of working with customers had taught her how to put on a happy face, no matter how she felt inside. The door cracked open. Welcome back, Carly. A male voice greeted her warmly. She'd expected to see Hannah's husband of 2 years, Garrett Willingham. But the man standing in the doorway looked nothing like the clean-cut, non-risk-taking, business-suit-wearing, certified public accountant. This guy was too rugged, too fit, too familiar. Jacob Porter. Over 6 feet tall with brown hair that fell past his collar, he still had piercing blue eyes, a killer smile, and a hot, hard body that made the girls, herself included, swoon back in high school. Those features had only improved with age. Her pulse kicked up a notch. What are you doing here? Waiting for you. His grin widened, the same way it had whenever he and Nick teased her. Merry Christmas. Merry... Simply thinking the word left a bitter taste in her mouth. She couldn't bring herself to say it. Season's greetings. Where's Hannah?
At a doctor's appointment, Jacob explained. Garrett drove her. She didn't know if they'd be home by the time you arrived or before the school bus dropped off Kendall and Austin, so she asked me to come over.
Carly noticed Jacob's clothes. A light blue button-down Oxford shirt, khaki pants, and brown leather shoes. A bit more stylish than the t-shirts, jeans, and sneakers she remembered him wearing. He must have come from work. Thank you. Though she wasn't surprised. Jacob had always gone out of his way for them. A surrogate everything to what remained of the Bishop family. He'd found her the job in Philadelphia. He'd taught Nick's two kids to ski and fish. He'd even introduced Hannah to Garrett.
Come inside before you get too cold.
Jacob reached for Carly's suitcase. His hand, big, calloused, and warm, brushed hers. The accidental contact startled her, and she jerked away.
You city girls aren't used to the temperatures up here.
Forget the cold, she wasn't used to her response to his touch. That was unusual for her. Philadelphia gets cold, too. As she stepped inside, heat surrounded Carly, cocooning her with the inviting comforts of home. The homey touches, a fleece blanket on a chair, throw pillows, candles, and framed photos, were ones missing from her apartment. His gaze ran the length of her.
You look the same.
He looked better. So does this place. And that somehow made everything worse. A fire blazed and crackled in the fireplace. The way it had that horrible, dark Christmas morning when a teary-eyed Hannah had told the kids to unwrap their gifts from Santa. Carly wanted to shut off the video of years gone by streaming through her mind. But the fresh, evergreen scent, the twinkling multicolored lights, and the ornament-laden branches wouldn't let her. The popcorn and cranberry garland, keepsake decorations marking special occasions, and silver bells and gold balls reminded Carly of the rush to take the tree down before Nick's funeral. Hoping to protect the children, Hannah hadn't wanted the event to be associated with Christmas in any way. Her efforts seemed to have worked. But Carly couldn't think of one without the other. Even now. The door closed. She glanced over her shoulder. Jacob stared, an unrecognizable emotion in his eyes. One time during an argument with Ian, she'd turned to Jacob for advice. There'd been a moment when she thought he might kiss her. He'd been studying her then the same way he was now. Her temperature rose. The combo of forced air heating and fireplace, no doubt. She shrugged off her jacket.
I'll take that.
He hung her coat on the rack by the door.
It's good to see you again.
You too. And she meant that. She may have struggled with what happened on the mountain, but she hadn't forgotten her family and friends. She'd done her best to keep in touch with Jacob and Leanne Thomas, a paramedic who had also been a close friend of Nick's. How are things at the Hood Hamlet Brewing Company?
Good.
Jacob's family owned and operated a craft brewery and pub in the small Alpine-inspired touristy town of Hood Hamlet, set high on Mount Hood and fueled year-round by outdoor enthusiasts and tourists. Nick had worked there. Ian and Carly, too. That seemed like another life. Who was she kidding? It had been another life.
Hannah told me things are going well in Philadelphia, Jacob said.
They are. Did you see any of my recent posts? Carly followed him on social media, and he did the same with her.
I did, but...
He shifted his weight between his feet.
She mentioned you had a boyfriend.
Wishful thinking on her part.
Carly dated. She'd had boyfriends. Okay, two.
But both relationships had petered out.
I go out, but I'm too busy with work for a serious relationship.
You've really moved your way up the ladder, Miss Brewpub Manager Extraordinaire.
I have, haven't I?
She loved managing the restaurant portion of Conquest Brewery. But Carly had never wanted to be a focused career type who worked mega amounts of hours. She'd wanted to be a wife. Ian's wife. Boy, had she been young, starry-eyed, and idealistic back then. I still owe you for getting me that server job.
You don't owe me anything, Jacob winked. But if I need an extra hand at the brew pub over the holidays, I'll give you a call.
Deal.
Jacob might be more attractive than before, but he was still the same inside. Kind, caring, and generous. She found that comforting, as well as the memories that surfaced.
A smile tugged on her lips.
Do you remember when we brainstormed names for your seasonal brews?
I remember.
He shook his head.
Especially the time you wanted to name everything after Macbeth.
Carly grinned. Hamlet.
Whatever.
She nudged his arm with her elbow. Hey, some of the names were clever. Besides, considering your brewery is located in a hamlet.
Yeah, like the guys buying the beer have a clue what a hamlet is.
Maybe not the exact definition of one, I'll give you that. But brewed and bottled in Hood Hamlet is printed on every label.
Jacob raised a brow. Nothing could justify naming a seasonal ale, and I quote, to beer or not to beer.
That was a great name. She searched her memory for the others. Don't forget Lady Doth Protest Porter. Mind's Eye Amber. Less Than Kind IPA. And Soul of Wit Pale Ale. Instant classics, I'm telling you.
He laughed. The deep sound warmed her as much as the heat from the fireplace.
You can tell me all you want, but that doesn't mean I'll ever use them.
She drew her brows together. Maybe I should give those names to the master brewer where I work.
Go for it. But that brewery isn't located in a hamlet, so you might have a harder sell on your hands.
Not if he recognizes genius at work.
More like plagiarizing at work.
Carly laughed.
Jacob's teasing filled an empty space inside her she'd forgotten existed. She had friends, good friends in Philadelphia, but none who had watched her grow up. Who knew the people who'd mattered most in her life? Who knew what she'd been like before being thrown the ultimate curveball?
So, what brilliant name did you come up with for this year's seasonal brew? She asked.
Jacob's gaze met hers, softened.
Nick's Winter Ale.
The name hung in the air as if surrounded by a cartoon dialogue bubble. A snowball-sized lump of emotion lodged in her throat. She swallowed.
The beer he came up with right before. Her life had been divided into two parts. Before and after the accident. Things had improved with the passage of time. She no longer felt the familiar sting each time she thought about what had happened. The loss. That dreaded prickling sensation hadn't brought a rush of unexpected tears in years. Though some days she still needed to cry. On her terms.
Jacob nodded once. It's good. He worked overtime developing that brew.
Nick had been so proud of the beer he'd created. He'd been sure the brew would be the next year's seasonal ale. It probably would have been.
That's wonderful. Nick would be happy.
That's what Hannah said. Your mom and dad, too.
Carly's parents had divorced after Nick's death. Her mom and dad had dealt with a few issues before the accident, but nothing other married couples hadn't faced. Losing their son, however, had caused a rift. They'd grieved so differently that making their way back to each other hadn't been possible, though neither had made much of an effort. Her father lived in Central Oregon now. Her mother had relocated to Scottsdale, Arizona. Both had remarried. You spoken to them?
Yes. They sounded pleased, Jacob answered. Each asked for labels and a bottle.
She wasn't surprised. Nick had been the golden boy. No one, not Carly, their grandkids, or each other, could fill the gap left in their parents' hearts with his death.
Do I get any? Carly asked.
I have a case for you. Labels, too. I'll drop them off.
Thanks.
Come on. Jacob motioned for her to follow. The kids will be home soon. I need to fix them a snack.
Wait a minute. As she peered up at him, the top of her head came to his chin. You're going to fix their snack? You guys always made me heat up the frozen pizzas and fix whatever else you wanted to eat.
Good practice for when you're on your own.
I'll have you know I've been on my own for 6 years. She swallowed a sigh.
Jacob didn't appear to notice. I meant with the kids. They'll expect you to fix their snacks for them. And when Hannah goes into the hospital to have the baby,
I can handle it. Once upon a time, Carly had dreamed of having children of her own.
But like her other dreams, that one seemed to have died on the mountain, too.
So she made the most of whatever time she could with her niece and nephew, meeting them wherever they traveled for their summer vacation. Anywhere except the Pacific Northwest. She hadn't wanted to come back. Spending time with Kendall and Austin will be great. His smile crinkled the corners of his eyes, and her heart bumped.
We'll see how you feel in a few days.
Forget a few days. Carly didn't like how she felt right now. But that had nothing to do with her niece and nephew, and everything to do with the man standing in front of her. Still, she was a survivor, and like with everything else, she would get through this. She raised her chin. It won't be a problem at all. Chapter 2.
No problem. Yeah, right.
Jake had a big problem. Her name started with C and ended with Y. He grabbed a Granny Smith apple from the fruit bowl and then placed it on the cutting board. Maybe if he concentrated on fixing the kid's snacks, he could forget how Carly's turtleneck sweater hugged her chest and the curve of her waist, how her well-worn jeans cupped her bottom like a second skin. Jake forced himself not to stare. Drool. He reached for a knife. She looked good. Okay, hot. Better than he remembered. The cold temperature outside brought a natural color to her cheeks. Thick lashes, ones she'd had since she was younger, framed expressive hazel eyes that no longer held the optimistic promise of tomorrow, but hinted at new depths he hadn't seen before. Those pink, full lips smiling at him made him think about kisses. And the one time he should have kissed her, but instead he'd hesitated and lost her. Not that he needed kisses now. A taste of those glossed lips, simply a nibble, was all he wanted. But that wouldn't be a smart move. Kissing her would be downright stupid. As he sliced the apple, the knife slammed against the cutting board.
Be careful.
Carly neatly placed cheese and crackers on a plate. You don't want to lose a finger. Right now, he was more worried about losing his heart.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?